Near the close of 2 Timothy, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, our focus on verses 9 through 15, and then Lord willing, we'll finish 2 Timothy next Lord's Day. So focusing on verses 9 through 15, but beginning to read at verse 9, and reading through the end of the book, your God's holy word. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. For he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as does Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for his blessing. Our Father, we do thank you, and we praise you for your word. And we praise you, Lord, that what was written to Timothy long ago is written for us as well. Because we know, Lord, that through your Spirit you continue to speak to us, and that your word is living and active, that your word is breathed out of your mouth, that your word does and is able to equip us for every good work. And so, Father, bless us each with listening ears. Bless he who brings your word, that we would hear what you have for us. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are approaching the end of our study in 2 Timothy. Verses 1 to 8 of this chapter contain the last major charge to Timothy. Timothy was to preach the word, and he was to fulfill his ministry. He was to preach the word because the scriptures are the word of God. Paul spoke of the scriptures or the writings as being breathed out of the mouth of God. And therefore, these writings are profitable, they're useful, they're beneficial, and they're sufficient. The scriptures are able to completely equip the man of God for every good work. Not some things, not most things, everything. Therefore, we don't need other revelations, tongues, dreams, visions, or so forth, to equip us. Special revelation is now complete. We have God's word, and that word is able to equip us. So Timothy's task is what? Preach that word and fulfill your ministry. Don't follow other things. In fact, as you think of that, what else would the church need? Well, knowing that the very word of God is indeed the very word of God and able to equip you for every good work. And so Timothy was solemnly charged before God and before Christ to preach that word. even when many others would have itching ears for something else. Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Preach that word. Endure afflictions in the midst of a world that's going to hate you. Be a preacher of the word. Well, this morning we're looking at some last requests of Paul. But let me remind you that Paul is in jail and he's near his death. He expects to get out of jail by execution, not by being released. He's acknowledged that he's being poured out as a drink offering. And we see that Paul has some last hopes and wishes. And then next week, we'll be looking at Paul's final words and greetings. This is, as far as we can tell, the last book or epistle that Paul himself wrote. And so this evening, we're looking at Paul's last request in that regard, four things. First of all, come quickly. Secondly, bring Mark. Third, bring the cloak and the books. And finally, watch out. Well, the first request that Paul makes of Timothy is to come quickly. Really an emphasis here in verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. A double stress there. Do your best. Be diligent. And not just do your best, not just strive, but do your best to come and to come soon. Get here soon. Do what you can do to do that. Be diligent. Be quick as far as you are able. And we can understand the urgency, or at least some of the urgency behind Paul's request here. He's in prison. He knows his death is approaching. He knows that he's going to be killed. And Paul wants to see Timothy before this comes about. And so Timothy, if this is going to happen, has to be quick. He's got to do his best to get there soon. We need to remember as well that Timothy is like a son to Paul. Paul loves this young man, this young preacher. Now, brothers and sisters, I have no doubt that Paul missed Timothy and longed in that sense to see one whom he has dearly loved and cared for. But there's more to Paul's desire here to see Timothy than just sentiment, loneliness, missing a dear young brother and son in the Lord. I don't believe the main or first reason is loneliness in calling Timothy his friend to be there. But Timothy, it's more something like this. I don't have much time left, and I want to be able to teach you and give you the last things I have before the Lord's going to take me home. Paul's going to die. And so let me try, Timothy, to impart some further knowledge, some further blessing, some further encouragement, because Timothy, you're going to face some challenges, as you already are, and more's coming. So come quickly so that we can talk before we can't do that anymore. Verse 10 then gives at least part of the reason that Timothy is to come quickly. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Three men mentioned in this verse. The first is Demas. Now we read of Demas a couple of times in the Bible. Earlier, at the end of Philemon, verse 24, Paul called him a fellow worker, a fellow laborer. We also read of him with Luke in the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Demas had shown potential as a worker for the Lord. Demas had labored for the Lord. But now we see, we read that Demas has forsaken Paul, and the reason that he did so was because of his love for the present world. He was infatuated with the world. Demas left Paul because he wanted the world. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to see this as a contrast to verse 8 that we looked at last time. In verse 8, we read this. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. But Demas has left me, not loving his appearing. Demas has left me because he loved the world. Because he's loved the world. Now I want you to realize that Demas did stick by Paul during his first imprisonment. The book of Philemon was also written from prison. Although that time it might have been, or most likely was, more of a house arrest. But right now Paul may be literally, as we've said in the past, in a hole in the ground. Perhaps Demas looked at this and said, no, that's not for me. I don't want that. I'd rather have the world. He loved the world more than he loved the appearing of his Savior. And so it appears that Demas was not a true believer, though he was amidst the apostles. And so he fled from suffering, went to Thessalonica. John warns in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So brothers and sisters, what or who do you love? What or who do you live for? Now, again, we're not saved because we love the Lord. We're not saved because we live for the Lord. That's a works righteousness. But those who have been saved, right, we do love the Lord, even though we fall short in this. But we're not saved because of our love for the Lord. We're saved because of the Lord's love for us, because he died on the cross. And so here's why I think sometimes Christians lack assurance, by the way. Because then they're looking at their love for the Lord and not as much the Lord's love for them. But it is still a proper question that we ask ourselves, who is it that we love? What is it that we love? Are we here living for the world, or are we here living for the Lord? What are you living for? What is it that you long for? Do you long for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living for that? Are you willing to take up your cross and follow him? Demas apparently was not. He labored for a time, but he loved the world and not the Lord, showing himself, unless he repented later on, not truly to be a believer. And Demas' desertion devastated Paul. Paul had loved that man. Paul had poured his heart into that man. Sometimes the deepest hurts come from the people you love and have loved the greatest. What a trial this was for Paul. Over the years, the greatest heartaches haven't come, right? They don't come from without. They come from closer in. We know greatest pains, right, come from the people we love. And some, therefore, have said, well, if that's the way it is, why should I bother even loving anyone? Well, one of the reasons is because God tells us to. And really, you don't need another reason then, do you? But another reason is because also some of the greatest joys come from that as well. And with this desertion in mind, Paul urges Timothy to come. And besides Demas, we also read of others leaving. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Now this appears to be a different kind of leaving. Apparently they left for a legitimate reason, the work of Jesus Christ, the work of the gospel, the work of proclaiming Christ in other places had to go on. They all can't continue and remain right there with Paul. There's work to be done. But with all of this leaving, both for good and for bad, Paul desired to see Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, so he can encourage and instruct him before it's too late. Now, Paul is not totally alone, however. Luke is with him. We read in verse 11, Luke alone is with me. And we all know Luke is the writer of the Gospel of Luke. And he wrote Acts as well. Thus, he wrote a very large part of the New Testament. You might say, well, that's two books. Yeah, but those are two long books. So he wrote a lot of the New Testament. He's known as the beloved physician. And here he is, beloved physician, perhaps even ministering not only gospel encouragement to Paul, but perhaps physician encouragement to Paul as well. So Timothy, make haste to visit. And this isn't an easy trip, right? No cars to hop into, no bus to get on. This trip might take weeks, months. Difficult, challenging. Well, the next thing I want you to see is that Timothy is not to come alone. He's to bring Mark. And brothers and sisters, I don't know if you thought about this aspect yet, but that is incredible. You might say, well, why is that incredible? Bring Mark, okay. Verse 11, get Mark and bring him with you. Notice these words, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Now, are things starting to click for you? We all know who Mark is, the writer of the Gospel of Mark. We know him as the cousin of Barnabas, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you've received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. But brothers and sisters, what do you remember about Paul and Mark and Barnabas? Well, some time ago, Mark had accompanied Paul on a missionary journey. But do you remember what happened? Mark left Paul and he returned to Jerusalem. We're not told why he did this. But later, Paul considered him unreliable. And he refused to take Mark on his second missionary journey. And this caused a tension between Paul and Barnabas because Paul didn't want to trust this missionary dropout, Mark. The dispute became so sharp as to result in Paul taking Silas and Barnabas took Mark, and they went separate ways, Acts chapter 15. And so back then, Paul didn't consider Mark useful at all. But now look at what Paul says and what Paul writes right under divine inspiration. Bring Mark because he's useful for gospel ministry. He's useful to me for ministry. Isn't that beautiful? Because we see here the grace of God at work in the heart of Paul, and we see the grace of God at work in Mark as well. Mark, a missionary dropout, is known as useful. He goes from deserter and a man that Paul didn't want to use to a great and useful servant. And he even writes a gospel account. This could be nothing but grace. What a blessing that God uses failures. Mark failed the first time around. And now he's useful. Brothers and sisters, how many times do we look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm a failure. I failed in this. I aimed at this and I failed at this. But by grace, God uses failures like you and like me. And we're called what? Useful for the gospel ministry. Is that grace or what? God can use failures and does use failures like you and me. And we can go through the Bible, by the way, and we can talk about David's failures, and we can talk about Paul's failures, and we can talk about what a gracious God we have. You might say, it's too late, I messed up. You probably did. Doesn't mean it's too late. And what a blessing that these two believers who had a sharp disagreement are working together. Well, these brothers, Timothy and Mark, are to go to Paul. Timothy is to be diligent to come fast, and he's to bring Mark on the way. And remember as well, Paul is about to die. How many regrets do people have because they've not been able to see loved ones before they died? What a joy it must have been to Mark that Paul had wanted him to come. He's going to die, and Paul's going to instruct me yet. He's going to give me some of his last words. We ought to cherish when we have those opportunities to be with loved ones before they die. My mom died of cancer, as I've told you in the past, when she was just 50 years old. She had been incoherent a number of weeks prior to her death. And the night before she died, she called me with such clarity, and we had a wonderful conversation. And she said, "Vern, it's not as bad as it looks." And I said, "Yes, it is, but that's okay." But it was a time of encouragement. Final words of encouragement that were a blessing. What was Paul perhaps being a bit self-centered here, we might ask as well? How could Timothy leave the church in Ephesus now? I mean, Paul had just charged him and told him a lot of things that needed to be done. And watch out for the false teachers and don't let them do this and you got to stop them. Now come, Paul, wait a second, what do you mean? How can I do that? Well, what did Paul say as well? Verse 12, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Now remember, right, children, sometimes the way communication works nowadays, you know, oh yeah, it just got there. Well, how did that letter get there? Tychicus brought it. Hey, here's your replacement for a time. Here's some help so you can come. Tychicus was a faithful minister. He was already known to the Ephesian church. Since we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. Timothy, I got somebody to fill in for now. Paul's next request is found in verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. So not only bring Mark, but Paul also wants Timothy to bring his cloak and his books. Some practical instruction here too, right? Hole in the ground, get a little cold here, bring the cloak. Makes sense, doesn't it? An outer garment. Timothy, right, there's an urging to come before winter. And so that makes a whole lot of sense. But the other thing that Paul asks for is books, and especially these parchments. Paul's nearing the end of his life. Practically speaking, yeah, I could use the cloak to stay warm. But what else does he ask for? Bring the books. That's his desires. The parchments especially. He doesn't say, bring me some board game. Bring me my games so I can pass the time. No, bring me the books. That's his desire. That's what he wants. Now, we're not told specifically what was written in these books. Perhaps it was copies of the different books of the Old Testament. Perhaps parchments containing some of his own writings. But he wanted books. Now, brothers and sisters, I think you can probably guess at the application that is coming. It's important for us to read. Now, some might be tempted to think that a man like Paul, who saw the Lord, who wrote inspired scripture, an apostle, he doesn't need books, right? I mean, he's Paul. And yet he's wanting books. But if even Paul needed to study, how much more do you and I need to study things of the Word? Read the Word. Study the Word. Read books about the Word. Be in the Word. Reading's important. Now, I'm not saying throw out your televisions or throw out your games. The Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible doesn't say you can't relax and enjoy and fellowship with one another around a game, though a game itself isn't fellowship. You can perhaps fellowship and encourage one another around the game, but the game itself isn't the fellowship. Games are fine within reason. But what is important? Reading. Reading profitable things, good things. Finally, we read of a warning that Timothy must watch out for. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Now, who is Alexander the coppersmith? Some equate him with the same Alexander that we read of in 1 Timothy, whom Paul delivered over to Satan along with Hymenaeus. 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20 says this, holding faith and a good conscience, by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, it's possible this is the same Alexander. There's some debate among the commentators whether it is or not. I don't believe we can prove it one way or another. But whether the same man or not, he harmed Paul greatly. Perhaps Alexander was responsible for the arrest of Paul. Perhaps he was the one who prosecuted Paul, spoke against Paul at a trial. Whatever he did, he caused great harm to Paul and greatly resisted the apostles' words. And Paul speaks of the Lord repaying him according to his works. Paul doesn't seek to avenge himself. He doesn't say, do something to that guy for me. Give him a taste of his own medicine. Let him have it, Timothy. None of that. Timothy, you need to be careful. You need to be on your guard. You need to watch. Paul was comforted as well, right? The Lord's sovereign. The Lord will repay him according to... The Lord's got this, but you do need to watch, Timothy. Romans 12, verse 19 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I mean, these kinds of sayings are in several parts in Scripture. Why do you think it's in several parts in Scripture? I think it's there in Scripture a number of times because there's a natural tendency when we get hurt to want to do what? Pay back. And we might say, well, it's not so much that it's revenge, but if I could give them a taste of their own medicine, maybe they would learn. And even that, right, is not the problem. Paul is saying, No, God's going to take care of this. God's got this. But Timothy, you have to be careful. The point now is for Timothy to be warned. Whatever harm he's done to Paul may be aimed at Timothy next. And so Timothy, beware. God is going to take care of this. The world's going to hate the righteous, right? Timothy's going to have a hard time. We have hard times. Brothers and sisters, Paul's in jail. And what did he do? He continued to serve the Lord. And he loves what? What's he looking forward to? The Lord's appearing. Even while in jail, may we continue to strive to live for him who died for us and who was raised from the dead. Praise be to God for his grace. Let us be a people who love his appearing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, there are challenges we face day by day and sometimes even moment by moment. Lord, in the midst of all the challenges before us, help us to focus our eyes on the coming and return of Christ, who will gather us to himself. And the very fact that we will live with him forever and ever. Lord, we have not merited or earned this in any way whatsoever. But you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have been gracious to us. And how we thank you, Father, for the gospel of free grace. Strengthen us, Lord, to live for you out of thankfulness for that great gospel. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.